sermons, I guess, that I preached here after I became the pastor of this church was It's Going to Rain. And it seems to be one that you all remember quite a bit. I remember it very well. It was probably one of those sermons that I had on my heart, probably as heavy as I've ever had one. This one seems to be almost as heavy. But my thought this morning, and I will go ahead and give you my thought. Usually I will read and then I will give you my thought. But I was laying in bed one night this week, and it was up toward midnight, and I was just laying there. And I'll just be honest with you. The last few weeks, I have struggled trying to preach a sermon. I have just not been, I don't know where my head has been. I don't know what has been up with me, but I could not, for the life of me, get anything out last Sunday. And the Sunday before that, we had a wonderful service here. I didn't get to preach. The Sunday before that, I struggled even mightier than I did last Sunday. It seems like I just could not get myself together. And as I laid in bed this week, I said, Lord, You have got to help me. I have got to have some help. And the thought that came to me, and it's a song that was written early in the 2000s, late 1990s, a contemporary Christian song written by either Mercy Me or Casting Crowns, but it's Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. And in that song it says, Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, pour out Your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And my thought this morning is, open the eyes of my heart. We'll start with the 8th verse of this 6th chapter of 2 Kings. And it says, Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants, and he said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do, or what shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. If we could take for a portion of this as our reading text, it would be, And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And as I laid in bed this week, and I've had these scriptures on my heart for about a month, I began to think about what Elisha was going through. And we know that Syria and Israel were fixing to go to war. And Elisha had just told the king of Israel what the king of Syria was going to do. And the king of Syria asked, he said, How do they know what we're going to do? Who is telling our secrets? And the man spoke up and he said, Well, it's Elisha. And he said, Well, you go and you get him and you make sure that you stop him from telling anything else that I'm going to do. You make sure that you don't let anything else escape his mouth. Go spy and see where he is. So they go. And I guess they took a great army around old Elisha. Why, it says they compassed him about. Why, it must have been that wherever Elisha was somewhere lower. And the chariots and the army had just gone all around him. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, Elisha and just his servant, there was no way he was going to beat them. Elisha would have been dead had God not intervened. But you see, Elisha wasn't worried about it. This young man woke up and he heard the chariots, the sound of horses. I'll be honest with you. Had I woken up and heard the sound of chariots and horses, I probably would have been afraid myself. There was nobody else with Elisha but these two. And so he wakes Elisha up and he says, "Do you hear the sounds of the chariots and the horses? Do you hear what's going on around us? Don't you know that we're about to die? Elisha, aren't you worried?" Elisha just said, "Open his eyes." He began to pray and he began to ask God, "Just open his eyes that he might see." And what happened? That young man's eyes were open. And I guess as he looked out the tent, what did he see? He saw chariots on fire. I'm going to tell you this morning, my heart needs to be open to God. How long has it been since we have seen God move? And I don't mean just a piddly little move. I mean really move. How long has it been since God has led our lives? How long? How long has it been since God has moved in your life to where that you could know that no matter what is going on, that God is in control? How long has it been? How long? How long? How long has it been since you were worried about what tomorrow might bring? How long has it been since you could just say, just open their eyes, that they can see that God is on my side? How long has it been since you, brothers and sisters, have expected the glory of God? How long has it been? You can be honest with yourself. You can lie to yourself this morning. But how long has it been since God's people really expected God to send His glory down from on high? How long? How long? It's been a long time for me since I have experienced a move of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Preacher, you talk about the Spirit moving among us all the time. That's good. That's what I want. But how long has it been since God has really moved in our lives, such as He moved here for Elijah and this young man?" Even as saved people, sometimes our spirituality gets hardened over. Have you ever shaken a man's hands that has worked with him every single day? You feel those calluses on those hands. And what happens? That man who's worked with him, the feeling that he once had might not be as strong as it used to be. We as God's people get spiritually hardened to things. We do. We can either admit it or we can lie to ourselves. But I believe we get spiritually hardened to so many things that we're not even seeing that God is doing a good work in our very own lives. We get spiritually hardened to that. As we look back into the second chapter of the book of 2 Kings, if you'll turn with us for just a moment. Now, this is where Elijah was fixing to pass his mantle over to Elisha. He's fixing to go out of here. Now, don't get afraid. I'm not leaving, I promise. That's not what this sermon's about. But as Elisha looked and he beheld Elijah, Elijah had let him know, "I'm heading out of here." And so Elisha stood around about, and before Elijah was carried away, what did Elisha say? Or what did Elijah say to Elisha? "What could it be that I could do for you?" You know what he asked of old Elijah? Elisha asked of Elijah, he said, "Give me a double portion of thy spirit on me." How long, church, has it been since we've asked for a double portion of the Holy Spirit to rain down in our services? How long? We had a good service a few weeks ago. It was good. But I'm not talking about just good services on Sunday morning. I'm talking about when you leave here, that you take the Spirit with you, that you don't leave it at the glass doors at the front of the church, that as you get in your cars and go home and go to your job throughout the week, how long has it been since God has left with you on Sunday morning and has gone with you all week long? How long has it been? Don't we need to pray for this double portion? As old Elisha asked Elijah, he said, "Please, give me a double portion." And guess what happened? Old Elijah was carried out of here in a rain of fire as that chariot took him to heaven. What a sight for old Elisha to see as Elijah was just carried out of here. Old Elijah didn't die. He was carried out of here in the flames of God. I want to tell you this morning, sometimes God's Spirit, it was represented by fire. It was represented in that way because it was a boldness. It represented that it was a real thing and it could spread. Remember the sermon, "It's going to rain"? You remember what Ahab and old Elijah were doing, or Elisha were doing over there? They were fixing to have a contest. Elijah told him, he said, he told the people there in Israel, he said, "How long will you halt between two opinions?" He said, "If my God is the right God, you serve Him. If Ahab's God is right, you serve Him." He said, "If Baal is the one, serve him." And they're going to have a contest. What did they do? Elijah built his altar. And you know what he did? He flooded it with water. He was going to make sure that if there was anything going to happen, that it had to be of God. Ahab built his altar. And boy, they stood around about and they said, "I don't know what's going on. Baal's not hearing our prayer. He's not getting in touch with us. Something is wrong." Elijah said, "I'm just saying, that's exactly what I thought. That's exactly your God. A God that is not able to do anything. He's not able." Being like I probably would have been, I would have been like, "Watch this." And old Elisha began to call out on God. You know what God sent from heaven? A flame of fire. And it took that altar that had a trench about it that was filled with water, and it lapped it up. Just lapped it up. Now let's ask the question, whose God is real? The God of Elijah. Baal had nothing. He couldn't do anything. Don't you know that that must have sparked something in those people for a little bit? I hear people all of the time say, "Well, you know, things just aren't like they used to be." As someone who didn't live during those times, it's a little downheartening. Because I believe people today don't believe that we can still see the glory of God. I think we have come so far from where we thought we were that we can't see God move anymore. I think we've gotten there. We can still see God move. It doesn't have to be like it once was. Those times are gone. Stop looking back. You know what God's people must do? They've got to stop praying to God, "Bring back the old times." No. Look ahead to what God is going to do. Look ahead and say, "God, I know that things aren't okay now, but they can be if we want to see the glory of God." I want to tell you, there was somebody that got to see God Himself don't believe me, turn to the book of Exodus with me for just a few moments. You know who he was? A man by the name of Moses. He asked God, he said, "Lord, let me see your glory. Let me just see you." Turn with me to the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. I want to tell you something this morning. When I'm talking about opening up the eyes of my heart, I'm not talking about squinting. I'm talking about eyes wide open. How long for me has it been since I've said, "God, show me your glory. Show me your power. Let me see you." I want to see God this morning. I'm tired of living a life where God is not in it. I want to see God this morning. I want to see God on Sunday morning. I want to see Him on Monday morning. I want to see Him on Monday night when I go to lay down and pull back the sheets on the old bed. I want to see God. You say, "Preacher, you've already seen Him." I want to see Him again. There's some scripture over the New Testament. And there's a man that had been praying that he would see the new covenant ushered in. And as that little baby Jesus was born, he looked over in his face and he said, "My eyes have seen salvation." How long, church, is it going to be before we look into the very face of our Savior and say, "I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, pouring out your glory." Brothers and sisters, there's not another group of people on this side of eternity that has the power that His church has. There's not one. Not another one. There might be little local bodies. And you know what every one of them has that the rest of this world doesn't have? The Holy Spirit. Amen. They don't have that. They don't have what we've got. And let's stop hiding it from the world, please. Let's stop hiding what God has given us. Let's stop hiding that we believe in God leading, guiding, and directing our lives. You know how awkward it is sometimes to say, "God led me to do this or to do that." It's hard. I'm going to tell you something this morning, though. You better try the spirits. Sometimes people blame things on God that God didn't have a part in. You better ask God and seek out what He'd have. And God will let you know. He will let you know. But we're a led by God group of people. As Jesus was going out, I've quoted these verses of Scripture many times. He said, "I'm going away, but I send another Comforter that it will be with you." Aren't you glad? First sermon. I preached around this book board. Well, He's alive. In 2 years, you want to know something? He ain't died yet. My God is still the same God that He's always been and always will be. He's the same God that Moses saw. He's the same God that sent Jesus into the womb of a virgin and had Him born. He's the same God. The same God that allowed His Son to go to the cross at Calvary, be nailed there. And over 2,000 years later, He'd meet a little boy that was 11 years old and reveal Himself to him. It's the same God. Read with me for just a moment. And He said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. And He said, "I will make all of my goodness pass before thee." I'm going to let you see this, Moses. I'm going to let you see it. "And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And He said, "Thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live." We're not going to see His actual face.
Oh, we're not going to see it down here. No, no. And the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand." What is he going to stand on? Upon the rock. You want to talk about a symbolic thing? You know those who see God today, they stand on the rock. They stand on the rock. If you're standing on anything else, you're not standing on solid ground. I'm standing on the rock this morning. Tell you what, I'm getting a little glimpse myself this morning. It feels good. It feels good to be able to let yourself go and preach once again. It says, "And this shall come to pass while my glory passes by. I will put thee." Where is he going to put him? In the cleft of the rock. Hide me, oh blessed rock of ages. Just hide me. Hide me, oh blessed rock of ages. Oh, what a song that is. Let me see, Lord. "And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand. And thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt thou not be seen." Turn with me to the 29th verse of this chapter, the 34th chapter. I believe old Moses got to see the glory. I believe he got to look at God Himself. I believe that. In the 5th verse of the 34th chapter, it says that the Lord descended in the cloud, and He stood with him there and He proclaimed the name of the Lord. To the 29th verse He says, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain of Moses, that Moses wist not," oh, what it would be that we could be just like this. "The skin of his face shone while he talked with him." "When Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with him, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. Until he came out, as he came out and spake unto the children of Israel, that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. What would it be this morning that if God's people could get so in touch with God that as we walked out of this church house this morning that our faces shone with the glory of God? What would that be like as we walked into a restaurant this afternoon and they could say, "What is wrong with that bunch of people? What is wrong with them? Why do they look so happy? What is wrong with them?" As you got up tomorrow morning, you went to your workplaces, you went to the grocery store, talked to your neighbors, that they could look and they could see that you had been in the very presence of God. Oh, that they would be scared because your face just shone. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful for them to have to ask, "Well, where in the world have you been?" While you see them people that won the lottery a couple weeks ago, while their faces, they have the biggest smiles on their faces. You see a bunch of church people leave the church house and it looks like they've been beaten with a rock. How long is it going to be till we see the glory? I want to see God this morning so much so that when I get in the car, you got to put on sunglasses to pass me going down the road. How am I going to do that? I've got to get in a shape to see the glory. Oh, I was laying there in bed the other night and I found that song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. I want to see You. I want to see You high and lifted up." How long has it been since you got up on Sunday morning and said, I just can't wait to get to church. I just can't wait to see how God is going to be there today. How long? Or was the last few times you got up you thought, oh my goodness, I've got to go to church. Somebody is dragging me there. How long has it been since you got excited about God's blessings? How long? It's been a long time for me. As a pastor, sometimes you get spiritually hardened to everything. Boy, you're just looking to find the next sermon to preach. You're just looking for something else that you can feed the sheep with. You're looking and you're saying, Lord, please, just give me anything. Give me just a sliver and I'll do something with it. The preacher needs to pray to see the face of God in his sermons. Because if he'll do that, it will reflect on the congregation. It will do that. I want to talk to you for just a few more minutes this morning. I'm not going to try to worry your patience very long this morning, but I want you to turn with me over to Acts chapter 2. I take that back. Before we hit Acts, I want to stop in the Gospel of Mark for just a moment. I told Sister Lynn on her way in this morning, I said, you have an uncanny way of knowing what I'm going to preach on sometimes. I get a little jealous of these people in the New Testament sometimes because they actually got to see God or Jesus Christ perform miracles. They got to see people raised from the dead. They got to see people who had been lame from their mother's womb rise up and walk. They were able to see people that had been blind, their sight restored. Dumb talk. You ever heard of a man named Legion? Mark chapter 5. Legion was a man who had been possessed with many devils. And Jesus came by. You know what he did to Legion? He began to pray for old Legion. And he said, if we look over here, come out of thee in the 8th verse. Come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. You know what happened? They came out. And they went into the next thing that they could come to. It says they went into the swine and the herd ran violently down into a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Nineteenth verse. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Legion was known where he was. Crazy man. Next day, he was just like the rest of them. Just walking around just like the rest of the people. And no doubt people were thinking, well, what is wrong with him? Has he finally wisened up? Has he finally got some sense? Oh, yeah, he did. He met the man with all of it. And they marveled. And he said, there was a man that did this. And for some of them probably thought, who? Who could do this? We know you, Legion. We know that you're crazy. That man named Jesus. He did that. And they marveled. And this isn't the end of it. Read about Jairus' daughter in the next chapter. Had done died. Had a disease there. I believe she had died. Yes, she had died. And they came to the Lord and they said, Lord, you've got to do something. 41st verse says, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talith kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. This lady was gone. And God raised her from the dead. And it says they were astonished with great astonishment. The Spirit of God gets to moving among God's people, and you know what happens? We're astonished that He even comes by and blesses His people. We get that way. We say, well, did you know? We had a pretty good service. Had a pretty good service. God was there. It's like we are amazed that God stops by in His churches. God meets with us throughout the week. Something will happen. God will clearly be in it, and we'll say, well, you know, God was in that. It's like we're astonished that the very one that could save our souls would walk and talk with us all day, every day. We're astonished. Just blows our minds that God would go with us. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to try to close here. I could probably preach the rest of the afternoon, but I know I don't have that kind of time this morning. Acts chapter 1, let me rephrase. In the 12th verse, Jesus had been speaking to them before He had gone away. He said, you tarry over in Jerusalem. Just tarry over there until you're endued with power from on high. You know what these men did? They didn't waste time wandering around Jerusalem saying, well, I wonder when we're going to be endued with power from on high. What did these people do? They wander off and say, well, I guess He'll gather us all back together whenever the time's right. No, no, no. About 120 or something of these men and women, they got over here in that old upper room. They had to choose a new apostle to go with them. What did they do? They got in this upper room. What does it say that they did? 14th verse of the first chapter. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. What did they do? They get over there in one accord. At that ordination yesterday, one of the preachers said something that our churches need. All of our churches, it doesn't matter which ones they are, they need unity. This church here at Mount Calvary, I believe, is united. That's a wonderful thing. It's not everywhere that churches are united like this. It says, and they prayed and they made supplication with all who were there. And you know how many days? It wasn't very many. Read over in the second chapter what happened. Second verse, third verse. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let me pause really quickly. Us as Baptists don't believe in speaking in tongues as some random speech that you just give out. I believe there were many people that had gathered here from all nations. And I believe they began to speak in their tongue as God gave them utterance. Don't you think they saw the glory of God as it poured down upon them like as clothes of fire? Old Peter, he began to speak, began to preach, and the power of God rained down upon those that had gathered there. And over 3,000 souls, probably more than that, got saved. As we go back to our original scripture lesson this morning. This young man that was there, I've thought about him a lot. As Elisha prayed, he said, open his eyes that he may see. As we come to the end of this sermon this morning, I beg of you, open the eyes of your heart. You see, we talk to lost people and we say, well, you need your eyes opened. You need to, when God saves you, He opens your eyes and things of that nature. That's true. But I'm talking about opening the eyes of your heart. The Scripture says, where a man's heart, there will be his treasure. If we desire to see God, I believe He'll let us see Him. As Moses asked, he says, "Let me see you, God." And God just said, "You can't see my face, but I'll show you." I'm not asking God to raise people from the dead, and I'm not asking Him to heal limbs and make people's eyes be open physically that have been blind. We know that a lot of those things were left in the apostolic age. I believe God did some wonderful things through some men over there. I don't have the power to heal anybody. I don't have the power to save you. I don't have any of that. The only power that I have is the same power that Paul talked about when he talked about preaching. And he said, we must preach in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's all that I have this morning, is to preach that way. And if I do that, I myself can get in touch and see the glory of God. But it's not enough that I see Him. Brothers and sisters, you have got to see God. I think a lot of times us as saved people, we get so accustomed to coming in, plopping down on a seat, singing a couple songs and saying, "Well, you know what? It's good to be in the Lord's house, ain't it?" And it is good to be in God's house. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. But I've been places where I've sat on a seat and I thought, "Well, good Lord, the Lord don't even know they're even having service today. Don't even know they're even here." I don't want that. I want to see the glory of God. You know how we can see that? People getting saved. We've been able to see people get saved here recently. What a joy that is. I don't want to stop there though. I want to see people's lives changed. I'm talking about when they leave Mount Calvary Church, that they have seen God. And then when they leave, they can go out and they can say, "You know, those people over there, they get in touch with God. There's a power there that's not like anywhere else I've ever been." As you talk to people throughout the week, I want people to say, "You know, there's something about them that I like. They've got some conviction about what they believe. They must have gotten in touch with somebody." As Moses had to, his face just shone. I want that for you. I want it for me. I've said all along since I've been here, if we want to see a revival spread through Nashville, Tennessee, it's going to have to start with you, 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 and me. Individually, every one of us has got to pray and ask God, "Can we see Your glory?" You want to see your family members get saved? Start asking to see God's glory in your life. People say, "I can't get my family members to come to church. My wife or my husband, they won't come with me." You start getting in touch with God and see if God don't start working with these people. Get on fire for Him. I preached a sermon back in the summer at Freedom Missionary Baptist Church. It's time to ignite the fire. Throw some gasoline on that thing and let's get going. Let's see God this morning. Let's see God tonight. Let's see God Wednesday night. Let's see Him Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. There's this saying that I saw a couple years ago, and I'm going to close with this thought. I want to be so full of God that when a mosquito bites me and flies away, he's singing, "There's power in the blood." I want that. I want there to be power in the blood this morning, because there is power in the blood. Will you pray this week? Will you pray today? Open the eyes of my heart. I'm talking about look at Him. I've got to read this verse of Scripture. I'm sorry. It's found in Corinthians. I promise I'll close in just a minute. 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. 14th verse, 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, 14th verse. "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." He's talking about the Jews that still believe that Jesus Christ hasn't come, that they're under the old law. It said, now the Lord that is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, guess what? There's liberty. It says, but we all, with open face, this is where it gets pretty, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Is your glass dirty? Get you some Windex and clean that thing off and get a look. I said, preacher, it's been a long time since I've seen the glory of God. Ask God to show you. And in the process of showing you, I believe He'll show those around you. May I please beg you this week, if you don't remember anything else I say today, and I sincerely hope that you will, go away praying, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see You. And if you really want to see Him, you just stand back and see if He don't show yourself. May God bless you is our prayer. Brother Cole and I have to ask you to sing this song this morning.